Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are bringing you an incredible festival that is happening this summer here in New York. And joining us from this festival is this amazing work that's the centerpiece of the event happening. And joining us to talk about that, we've got the director Danilo Gambini and the actor and writer Mahira Kakkar. They're here talking to us about Rattlestick Theater's presentation of Draupadi, an 18-night Mahabharata project play. It's part of Global Forms, which is happening June 7th through the 9th at Rattlestick Theater. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting rattlestick.org. We're really excited to be bringing you and covering this great festival because it's such an incredible event. It really offers up a platform for voices that we don't normally get to hear from, particularly those of immigrants. So this is a wonderful, wonderful event. And I can't wait to learn more about this show to be sharing it with you. So let's go ahead and welcome on our experts on this, our guests, Danilo, Mahira. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much. Welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you both for joining me today. I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you for joining me at an early hour. This is wonderful because you've got this great show that as I said, is part of the centerpiece of this festival, which showcases work of immigrant artists. And so I want to start first with you, Ma, as the actor and writer of this piece. Can you tell us a little bit about what your work, Draupadi, is about?
Yeah, so the Mahabharata is sometimes pronounced, is the world's largest epic. It is India's largest epic, and it is also the world's largest epic. And I wanted to create stories based on it, spare theater shows that would be easier for theaters to put up, that would be more cost effective for theaters to put up. And I wanted to make the mythology available to people who didn't grow up with it in the way that I did. And so Draupadi is a story of this woman who was born as a teenager out of a fire, and then suddenly was buffeted by all these things around her and had to follow all these systems. And her life was like this incredible roller coaster. And what I'm amazed by is her resilience and her joy and her spirit. And I wanted to make sure that everyone could have access to that. And Danilo was instrumental in encouraging me to create and share the piece.
That is so fantastic. I love that. Now, I'd love to go a little bit further with this because, as you mentioned, it's the largest epic. And I'm sure it wasn't created yesterday. It sounds like it's probably an older story. So what inspired you to create this particular adaptation of it, if that's fair to say?
You know, I've seen a lot of adaptations of the Iliad and the Odyssey, and even stories about Penelope, but I haven't seen as many stories based on the Mahabharata. I've seen a few. There was Peter Brook's version, and there is, I think, another version that was created recently in the UK, but it's definitely not as prevalent here in the United States as adaptations of those other epics have been. And so I see a lot of more and more South Asian theater artists in the community. I also just wanted to make the table bigger in a way and create opportunities for people. And so that was part of the impetus.
That is wonderful. Now, Danilo, I'd love to know, how is it you came upon this piece?
Yeah, and I can tell the myth of how we got together working. So Ma and I were part of this artist group that was formed at Rattlestick during COVID. It was just a group that it continues to meet on Monday evenings just to share some work and talk about life and be together. It was, you know, like during the hardest moments of COVID when we just needed togetherness. And it's just a group of just some wonderful humans and artists that I think we all grew to love each other very much. And in one of these meetings, Mahira mentioned, "You know, I'm thinking about adapting the Mahabharata," and I got like so excited immediately. I myself knew of the Mahabharata through Peter Brook's work, and when Mahira brought it up, I was so excited. I'm like, "This is amazing! I love it! I love myths! I love, you know, all these big epics, and it's huge, right? Like the idea actually, and I don't want to speak for Ma, but I will. It's the idea is to bring it to make it become 18 plays that will happen in different places, and maybe just huge. Also, experience of watching it can also become an epic theatrical endeavor. When Mahabharata, I was like, you have to do it. You have to do it. We have to do it. Let's do it. It's amazing. And of course, all the worries of how do you tackle such a huge project. We, with Daniela Topol, who was the artistic director at the time, we decided to apply to a commission, NISCA, and I was pretty sure we were going to win. I said, this is just such a great project, and which we did apply, and Mahira did win the commission. So this was just a big incentive for Mahara to just keep going and writing it. And I said, you know, like if you will have me, I would love to keep being involved with this project just because I just think it's amazing. So we've been working together ever since. And I think it started in 2021, if I'm not wrong, we probably, and then 2022, 2023 is when we started working on it.
That is incredible. Now, at the time of this recording, we are just over 2 weeks away from the beginning of the run and of the festival. So, Danilo, I would love to know, you know, what has it been like developing the piece as we run into this opening?
It has been wonderful, and we were just we are Mahara is now in San Diego and I'm in DC, so we've been rehearsing and talking about it over Zoom. And one of the beautiful things, as we see it take shape and we cut some parts and rearrange some parts, is that the play showed itself to be really, really, really strong and deep and emotional and exciting. I was just telling Mother, like, the thing that I write about, that I love about her writing, is that it keeps the myth in a beautiful way, and at some point starts cracking the myth, cracking it up, and all the there is some sort of mythological logic to this story and the story of this woman, and at some point this logic starts to be terrifying and make so much sense to our reality. And sometimes starts to be very inspiring and very deep and very, it really is an amazing piece.
That is so fantastic to hear. Ma, I want to turn back to you now and ask that same question, you know, because not only are you the writer of the piece, you're an actor in it. So what has it been like developing this piece?
Andrew, it's first of all, working with Danilo is a dream. I don't know if you saw the piece he directed, Nimi Madre, which was done at Rattlestick a few years ago. And Danilo is really sort of an actor's and a writer's director. Like he goes with the grain, he's very encouraging, and he makes you follow your impulses. Even if you're like, well, I don't know about this, he's like, no, follow it through. And he's very clear about things that don't work, but he's also very kind about it. So it's a very generous environment. And working on it has been great. It's been, as you know, Andrew, an actor's life is, it's, you can often be working on two or three things at the same time. And it's exciting to be able to do that. So I'm currently working on Henry VI here at the Old Globe, and there is a way in which being immersed in that sort of huge language and huge imagination, and working with a director like Barry Edelstein, who's so excited about the work, also feeds into my work on working on this Indian epic. And I've had this incredible resource available to me, which is a translation of it from the Sanskrit by a writer called P. Lal, who basically translated all 18 books from the Sanskrit into English, into verse. And I also have a friend who's an incredible Sanskrit scholar and an academic. And so, you know, I've been able to draw on these people's knowledge and check things with them, but it always comes back to what's the thread through the story, right? Why tell this story and why tell it now? And I think with all the stuff that's in the world right now, with all the violence against people who are perceived as weaker, it felt important for me to give voice to someone who goes through a lot and still stays standing.
I love all that. I want to snowball off of that, if I may. Ma, is there a message or thought that you're hoping audiences will take away from this piece?
Yeah, I mean, I think you had to come see it, but that's because I don't want to give it away. But I do think that realizing that you're not alone is important. And I think that realizing that other people are also going through, are also suffering, even people whom you might think are different from you. And also putting a pause before you react with violence is important. I mean, those are three things that I'll just touch on without giving away what I'm doing.
But three very important ideas that I love that. Danilo, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, as Ma was speaking, I was just thinking, I refer to this epic as myth is just because how I organize my ideas. I just think that every myth for me is something that I deeply, truly respect. And how I understand myth, it's just those huge stories that survive the generations. And the reason why these stories survive is that they hold the truth. And they have something essential about the human experience. And sometimes they're really hard, sometimes they're really beautiful and really inspiring, and most of the time they're everything at the same time. And I think it's the same case as the story of Draupadi, which is it's just this woman that goes through, as Ma said, a roller coaster of a life, and through some terrifying situations and encounters, but also inspiring moments of clarity and enlightenment and power and love. And so I think as all of these big, big stories that survive the years, the centuries, this is one that more and more people should know. I think in a part of the world, it is very well known, and we are hoping that more people get in contact with it and inspired by it. And that it inspires, well, at the end of the day, what we want to inspire is the good in people and the resilience in people and love in people. And I think this play brings that.
That is such brilliant, brilliant ideas. I love all that. My final question for this first part, I'm going to start with you, Danilo, and then, of course, is who do you hope have access to Draupadi?
Well, we work of a theater artist, right? Everyone. The reason why we do theater is because we miss togetherness, or we exist and thrive in togetherness. And the exciting thing of theater is that it is and it should be open to everyone. One important thing about this festival is all tickets are free, so it is accessible to everyone. I mean, we know that accessibility to everyone is also a myth, but as much as we can. I think the idea is just like we just hope that people can come and experience this with us. I don't think we have like a target audience member. We want this to be an important experience both for those who really know the story of Draupadi, because this is a take on it. And as I said, it cracks the story open. And through the cracks, there are some very important poetry that comes from Mahira and some very deep and profound ideas. And we also want to make sure that it does hold audience members who have never heard of her and who will encounter her for the first time.
I love that. Ma, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I think about, Andrew, I speak to a lot of theater artists and younger theater artists. And you might be familiar with this feeling, but you look around and suddenly you're like, oh, I've been doing this for More than 10 years. I still feel like a beginner. But now I have people coming up to me and asking me things. And I see younger artists, and particularly younger artists of color and younger South Asian artists, and the I guess for want of a better, like the questioning, like, is there a place for me, right? And I want, for so long I felt that way. And I want to make space. I know I've said that before, but I want to say to them, yes, there is a space for you. And I want to say also to the older theater artists, I mean, I'm doing this piece now because it's the first iteration. And it's a way of putting myself on the line and saying, does the piece hold? And it's my body on the line doing it. So if there's any criticism, it'll come towards me, as it rightfully should. But I also, it's written for an older person. I mean, the dream is that somebody older will do it, somebody you don't normally see on stage, like an older South Asian woman, you know? I miss seeing that. I want to find a way to make here it is. So I want to find a way to make sure that everyone is present at the table, because I heard from an activist years ago, an activist who was filled with so much joy. She would crack jokes all the time, and she'd worked in like some really gnarly situations. She'd brokered some peace in Ireland, and she would say, "You cannot have progress unless everyone's present at the table." And then she'd laugh, you know. So that's part of where I'm coming from, and I think those are also my audience members. And to everyone who's like, "Is there a place for me?" I'm like, yes, there's a place for you.
The second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners the chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I'd love to start with my regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past or are just some of your favorites? And Danil, can I start first with you on that, please?
Yes, I can mention a book that inspired me a lot was The Empty Space by Peter Brook. It was one of the first theater books that I read, and it touched me. I read it in Portuguese. I'm from Brazil. And so that's, like why Peter Brook stayed with me for like a huge portion of my career. I had a chance to meet him when I was in grad school, and it was a very interesting experience of what they say, don't meet your heroes. So that was very interesting because he had taken such a big dimension in my subconscious, and then to meet the human was interesting. And I will stop there. The play that I saw that really shifted my molecules was Quartet by Robert Wilson. I saw it was with Isabella Huppert and this was 2009 in Brazil. I had just directed my first play ever, and I was very proud of it. It was my first work that I had written myself, and it was, like just with my friends in a black box theater. It was in my like acting train a conservatory. And then I saw this play, which was gorgeous. It's like classic Bob Wilson, and I was so upset at myself. I said, this is just person doing this wonderful thing that like I never could conceive myself. My theoretical thesis in my conservatory, which is called the School of Dramatic Arts in University of São Paulo in Brazil, you had to have like a we had our plays and etc. But you also had to have like a theoretical paper, and my paper was entitled "How I Am Not Bob Wilson," which was all about my frustration of seeing the show and not being and realizing I was very far from being the artist that I wanted to be as a director. So I think that was the play that really like launched me into the quest of becoming a better director.
Love that list. It's fabulous. Great stories coming too. Ma, what about you? What or who inspires you?
Oh, well, it's like from every walk of life, right? Because When you're in the theater, everything becomes about the theater. So, for instance, the other day I was looking at the David Prize. Do you know what that is? It's this no strings attached grant that is given to New Yorkers. You have to apply or you have to be nominated by someone. And it is for an audacious vision of how to make New York better. And I think they give you like 200K per person, and I mean, you have to pitch it, and you have to have had a track record of like bringing things to completion, and you have to go through a process. But some of the things that people are working on, I mean, like people are working on trying to end homelessness or trying to make the MTA more accessible and cheaper and fix the deficit. And these are citizens, and I find that exciting, and that might just be really nerdy of me, but. But I find it because I think because the news is so bad, and the world can seem so dismal, when I see hope anywhere, I feel a little bit like a magpie, and I'm like, that's great, and let me hold on to that for myself. And so that's inspiring for me. I find Dennis O'Hare inspiring. I find a lot of the work that I find a lot of the work that my colleagues in India are doing inspiring. I see their work on TV. For instance, I was watching this movie called Lapata Ladies, and the work is just so fine. I mean, it's like fine needlework. It's just beautiful. I loved seeing Jada's African hair braiding salon. That, I mean, the and I had a friend in that. And there was a way in which some of those women lit up the stage that I was like, yes. And those are not women who are having an easy time in their lives. Yeah, I am inspired by this activist, writer, artist called Tanya Selvaratnam. She's written a few books. So the net is pretty wide. You know, I was very inspired actually by Daniela Topol as well, who ran the Rattlestick and then was looking at it as a form of service. And then said, well, the service that I really want to do is to be a nurse. And I'm inspired by this. I think I'm inspired by the people I'm around, I think is what it's coming down to. You know, like I'm in the room with this other director who, like Danilo, is like, yes, let's take a big swing. Maybe we'll fail, but let's at least try. And let's take people along for the ride, you know, as many people as we can. And that's really cool because you're making space for the good stuff.
I love those ideas as well. That list is amazing. Thank you both for sharing those. Well, building off of that, I'd love to know, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Ma, I'm going to start first with you on this.
I love the people. I think that's my favorite part. And I love that you get to rehearse. I know that sounds for people who are listening, like on TV, you or film, you're lucky if you get three takes. On film you might get more. But in theater you get the luxury of more than three rehearsals, hopefully. You know, everyone is budget conscious nowadays. And so you get to just dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and not try to do that on your own in your living room. And that's wonderful. And then the audience, I was speaking to Elizabeth A. Davis, who's, I don't know if you know her. She was in Once. You would know her work, but she was nominated for Once. Anyway, Elizabeth was saying, you know, she looks at it as, she's like, if you can switch your mind to from your ego part to being like, I'm here to serve the story, then your nerves go away, and also you have more fun and you feel more of a connection with the audience. I love that part as well.
I love that. That's a brilliant thought. What a wonderful answer. Danilo, what about you? What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Okay, I just have so much fun, but I'm just trying to like organize my thoughts in a better way. But one thing that I always say, you know, if you think, just thinking about structuring art, right? Like if painting is the art of colors or dance is the art of movement and music is the art of sound, I see theater as the art of being together. It is the source material. And I think this is what also brings me joy, as Mark said, is just being together with people. It happens often to me, you know, like in rehearsal when we are talking about like some like subject that is related to the play or investigating the characters and talking about our lives and creating, you know, creating our own communities together. I just have a feeling, oh my God, this is so much, this is so great. This is just so much fun that this is my work, that we are here discussing, I don't know, philosophy or physics or psychology or just talking about our own lives, experiences, and how this enriched the character or the stories that we're going to tell, and creating spaces, creating relationships, creating humanity, destroying humanity, questioning humanity, and this is the labor. This is what we do. It feels so joyful and so voluptuous and so exciting. So I think that's the thing, is just like getting together and creating universes. That's what moves me the most.
That is a brilliant answer as well. I love that. And it leads to my favorite question to ask guests, which I'm very excited to hear your answers to. And that is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Okay, I have one. So many memories went through my mind, both as audience, as director, as an actor, which was a bit of my previous life. But then the one that stuck was one as an actor. It was my graduation play of the same conservatory. We were doing this show called The Ugly One by Marius von Mayenburg, again in Portuguese. This was in Brazil. And our graduation plays were actually two plays. It was Blue Heart by Carol Churchill, which is also two plays. So it's A Heart's Desire and Blue Cattle. That was the first, and then The Ugly One. And we had like we were in five actors. It was a crazy process, and we were about. It was our first preview. Like in Brazil, it's a bit different, but anyway, it was our first performance, and I was not secure that I had it all memorized at all. And then I remember, like, we started, like, we were like lined up while the audience was arriving, and I just had this feeling of being at the ledge, and I was just so nervous. And I said, oh my God, I don't know if I remember all my lines. I don't know if I remember all my lines. And then I looked at my four co-cast members, and I just had this intense feeling of safety. And I said, oh, if I don't remember it, they will hold me. And my heart relaxed, and it was something that completely shifted me, knowing that like I was not alone. I didn't need to be alone, because at that point I had built this very, very important, supportive community of coworkers, of co-creators that would hold me. And then I just had a profound trust. I just had a profound trust in my cast. And it was a life-changing moment. And it was again a molecule shifting moment of just understanding something substantial about making theater, which is essentially diving in the abyss every single time. That one was a very, very, very deep and dark abyss with people that I love very much, and I still do. So there you go.
That is a beautiful, beautiful memory. Thank you for sharing that. Ma, what about you? What is your favorite theater memory?
Andrew, that's so hard. But I will say, so I have many, so I'm just gonna pick one. And I got to work with Chris Durang. I got to work with him twice. Once when he was a playwright and I was in one of his plays, and Christine Nielsen just gave us a master class every day. But the second time was when he was in the play, in his own play, in Vanya Sonia. And this was at Bucks County Playhouse, and he played Vanya. And he was fantastic. And Danilo, he often forgot his lines. And so there was always someone on book for him. And it was incredible because there were often days when he'd go, who wrote this? So his sense of humor and his gentleness, and also his allowing himself to be fallible and vulnerable, and everyone was cheering him on. I mean, he lived in that area as well. So people knew him. So seeing his community also show up, that was incredible. All his friends came from New York, and by friends, I mean, like David Hyde Pierce, and they all trekked from New York to come see him. It was amazing. And I was like, oh, that's how you build a life. You be good to people. And that, I mean, that's the, and they, you show up for each other, and that was really lovely to witness.
That is fabulous. What a memory. Wow. Both of you, what great memories. Thank you both so much for sharing those. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Okay, so there is a couple of things announced and a couple of things unannounced. The unannounced I cannot say, but announced things. The show that I directed at Rattlesnake, it's also a solo show called Ni Mi Madre by Arturo Luis Soria. We did the show in 2021 and we are taking it to Edinburgh Festival. So we're going to stay there the whole month. It's super exciting. And then I'm directing a show here at Studio Theater in DC where I'm the Associate Artistic Director. It's a show called Wipeout by Aurora Real de Azua. It's a wonderful, wonderful show. It's three women in their 60s, 70s in a surf lesson. And it's just a joy. And it's just an amazing show. These are the things coming up. There is something other at Rattlesnake after Draupadi that I'm going to be working at. It's still unannounced. So keep your eyes open. So keep your eyes open. This is a weird thing to say. Anyway, yeah, this is what I have. Ma, what about you?
Well, Andrew, Draupadi is part of, as you know, an epic 18 play adaptation of the Mahabharata. And I should say that the figure 18 is based on the 18 nights of war in the epic, which led to incredible devastation. And just, they say in the epic that 1 billion people were killed. And so I'm trying to create a series of plays and in different forms. So Danilo and I have been talking about the next form being sort of a cabaret act. And I'm working on Henry VI parts one, plays one, two, and three, adapted into two plays that Barry Edelstein is directing here at the Globe. And I have written another, well, I've written a film script with some friends and we've sent it out and we're keeping our fingers crossed and we're gonna see what happens. So that's all the stuff that's going on right now.
Yeah, and that is to say that Ma and I are super excited about Draupadi, and we are really looking forward for what will be the next step after this workshop production at Rattlesnake. So we are also excited about meeting with folks and taking this out and see like how can this land in another theater for a full production. This during Global Forums we have a workshop production, so it's just we are now experimenting with some costume elements and props elements, and but it's not still a full production. So this is something that we're also looking forward to, hopefully in the very, very near future. So
Amazing. So some fantastic things, some great irons in the fire that we need to keep tabs on. And that is a great lead into my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Draupadi or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
I think for Draupadi is at rattlesnake.org where you can get your tickets for free, as I mentioned. So go quickly. And just for things about myself is danilogambini.com. And you'll find all the information there.
Yeah, same, Andrew. Draupadi is happening June 7th through 9th at Rattlesnake. And so you can go onto their website and book your tickets. And people can contact me through my website. And I am also on the gram, although I will say I only check my messages once a week. So, but that's a good way to reach out. And I'm always responsive, particularly to like other theater artists who have questions and stuff.
Wonderful. Well, Danilo, Mahra, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me this morning, for sharing this amazing work. I cannot wait to see it. And particularly, I can't wait to see it in full. I want to see all the parts. I want to see all 18 parts. This sounds amazing. So thank you both so much for taking the time today to share with me this wonderful piece.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
My guests today have been the director Danilo Gambini and the actor and writer Mahira Kakkar. They joined us today to talk about Rattlestick Theatre's presentation of Draupadi, an 18 nights Mahabharata project play. It's part of Global Forms and it's happening June 7th through the 9th at Rattlestick Theatre. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting rattlestick.org. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But make sure right now you head to rattlestick.org and get your tickets while you still can. They are free, but get them while they got them. Again, the show is Draupadi. It's happening June 7th through the 9th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
And keep talking about the theater.
and a stage whisper. Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a five-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.